Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is James Pearson, and I'm here to present my work done with Pierluigi Dragotti and Mike Brooks on depth layer extraction for image-based rendering. My talk will cover a brief introduction of the area, our algorithm, an evaluation of the algorithm, and then a conclusion. What is view synthesis? We take existing camera views and synthesize new virtual views of the scene. A few real-world examples are Google Street View, 3D Cinema, the Hawkeye, and BBC Research's enhancements to TV, to football. One approach to view synthesis is a model-based rendering, where you take a detailed geometric model and a texture map and generate new views. Few images are needed, but a high degree of geometric information is required. Creating a model is often slow and computationally intensive. An alternative approach would be image-based rendering, where you synthesize new views directly from input images. No geometric information is required, and you often get a photorealistic output. However, you do need a very large number of input images. Our approach is between these two extremes. We hope to use a reasonable number of images, using a simple geometric model, leading to a lower level of computation and near photorealistic results. The algorithm itself. Using the Middlebury test set, you have a series of cameras, rectifies cameras, arrayed in a row before a scene. We choose a key image and segment this. We're using segments rather than a pixel-based method to make it more robust to noise. However, we are assuming that the segments are all on the same layer. Using the segmented image, we match these segments across all of the available images to create a disparity gradient, which we can use to generate a depth map. We can then refine this depth map and use this to synthesize new virtual views at any point along the whole row of images. So, for example, if we take five of the input images, you can see that they're quite widely spaced, and there's a big jump between each image. However, if we use our method to synthesize four intermediate views, we can get a smooth transition between the frames with no major artifacts. The scene itself is non-uniformly spaced. You have objects in clusters throughout the depth of the scene. And we can represent this as a histogram of the disparities of objects. We can place, our model is a layer-based rather than continuous system. There are many reasons for this, saving time, space, and the complexity of the calculation. If we place the layers to minimize the error on the disparity histogram, we can optimize our position of these layers. And we're not wasting anything on these regions here where there are no regions of interest. The other benefit of this placed approach is that we can make sure that layers correspond exactly to the peaks which correspond to the objects themselves. So we don't have any error on the whole object. This has numerous benefits compared to another common approach, which is to have uniformly spaced layers, which does not take into account the scene itself. Our second major enhancement is how we refine the depth map itself. For our initial depth map, we have an assigned depth and also a confidence in that assignment. So we start from the closest layers because there will be no occlusions. We take a segment there. We are confident in that assessment. We reassign it. We assign it to our new depth map. We move on to the next segment in this first layer, closest layer, and we're not confident in this. So we set this aside for a later period. As you can see, as we move to the next layer, behind the first layer, we are only using segments that we're confident in for the next stage of occlusion. So for the next layer, can be included. So we use our now accurate measurements for the closest layer to recalculate this layer with occlusions, giving us a more accurate result. And finally, as we've finished through all of the layers, we approach the segments we left out, and we can recalculate them using the complete depth map. We can do this because of the occlusion ordering inherent in a layer-based system. So we only need to fix the occlusion map at the point at which we hit a new layer, which maximizes the accuracy while requiring no extra levels of calculation. Evaluating our algorithm. Our method of evaluating our algorithm is to take the initial set of images and remove some. These are not used in any way through our process. We synthesize these views using the remaining images and then compare them against the original base truths. This is our baseline algorithm. We're not taking advantage of the carefully spaced layers. We're using uniform layer spacing. We're not taking into account the ordering of the layers segments as we do the occlusioning, and we're only using one key image. As you can see, as we increase the number of layers, and hence the complexity of our model, the quality of our rendering increases. However, there's a large degree of variability due to the fact that the layer placement is entirely due to how many layers there are. It saturates at a point as predicted by the minimum sampling criterion and does not go beyond this point. However, our proposed algorithm, using our optimized layer positions and our trust-based occlusions and our depth order refinement, gives an improved result. Firstly, there's a lesser degree of variability in the results because for each layer number, we optimize the layer positions. Secondly, you can see that it plateaus at a much earlier point. This is because by assigning the layers in a non-uniform way, the minimum sampling criterion seems to be able to be relaxed. And other than this, it plateaus at the same point. This is using one key image. If we use an additional key image at the other end of the sequence and merge the two results, we can get a 2 dB increase in quality. To assess our results, we used the ground truth provided, and using the ground truth continuous map, we received this result. As you can see, our best approach reaches this limit. A more challenging case would be taking three images out, rendering all of these images, and averaging the results as before. However, in this case, there are fewer images for the initial depth assignment, and fewer images used to synthesize the outputs. The original baseline, there's a drop in quality, but it follows a similar pattern, and again, it plateaus at the point predicted by the minimum sampling criterion. Our proposed algorithm plateaus at an earlier point, and there's also an increase in quality due to the greater accuracy of our assignment due to the variability-based layers and our improved refinement step. And thirdly, if we use two key images, there is a further improvement. And if we compare this to the ground truth, it's not quite there, but it's very close for a very challenging case, whereas the ground truth is obviously for the optimal case. Evaluating our algorithm, here's an example output. This is one of the furthest frames from the inputs for the most challenging case. The mean error is only 1.64. As you can see from the exaggerated error map, most of the errors are only on the edges rather than the middle of objects. And the PSNR is 28.4. Moving beyond the restriction of a row of cameras, we can use an image plane. And in this case, two corner images. We can move along and then down the image, along a row, within the image, and then moving into the image, and back, and around. Our algorithm was designed to be extendable to multiple dimensions and further research. In conclusion, our algorithm can synthesize new views with low computation but high quality. Our layer-based approach gives a simple but effective occlusion ordering scheme and a good approximation to the scene, as can be seen by our closeness to the ground truth. The PSNR results show this. The non-uniform spacing means fewer layers are needed to achieve the same result, and the minimum sampling criteria can be relaxed. And careful selection of the segment ordering, the depth map refinement step, means that we can maximize the accuracy of the final output with no further calculations. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Questions?
I was wondering how you measure confidence.
So our confidence is based on a number of measures. By looking at our initial assignment and seeing which segments tended to be misassigned. So one of the measures we use is the size of the segment. So the small segments are far more likely to be misassigned. Also texture within a segment. And its depth. So foreground objects are far less likely to be misassigned compared to background objects, and the level of a possible occlusions. So all of these add up to give us a reasonable measure of how confident we are.
Thank you.
Let me ask one question. Maybe I missed the explanation, but when you show the results in graphs, you mentioned about the ground truth. What was the ground truth?
Sorry, so the ground, so the Middlebury test set are provided with a series of ground truth images. Mm-hmm. So in our algorithm, we generate our own depth map and then use this to synthesize the outputs. So for the value shown there on the graph, we use the ground truth provided with the test set to generate our outputs. And then, so it's following exactly the same method as the rest of our algorithm, but we use their depth map instead of our own generated one. Okay. So it's a measure of how accurate the depth map is, rather than any other rendering quality.
Okay, if there is no question, let's thank our speaker again.